السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we are still discussing a hadith which is recorded in Bukhari Sharif, reported by Hazrat Atha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We have discussed this in the past also to some extent, but there is a need that we should listen to these hadiths and Quranic verses over and over, because just the knowledge is not sufficient. Sometimes we have the knowledge and we don't make amal, and sometimes we don't have the knowledge at all. So both are detrimental. However, it is still better to have the knowledge so that at least someday Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the person to make amal, then he will make the amal correctly. Because some people are scared to acquire the knowledge of deen, and the reason behind it is that if they get to know, then they will have to make amal. And this is not something that I am just taking out of my pocket. I receive many letters from different people, and some actually say that we are afraid, we are scared, we do not want to acquire certain knowledge, or we don't want to listen. Sometimes the desire comes to go into a certain majlis or program or waaz or nasihat program, but then again shaitan whispers that if you are going to get this knowledge, then you will have to make amal, you will have to practice. So you rather don't listen so that you don't have to practice. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So shaitan will try his utmost best to keep us away from acquiring the knowledge or to make amal on that knowledge. So both things are essential. It is essential that we have the knowledge too, and it is essential that we practice on that knowledge. But if we are committing one error or mistake or sin, then we don't have to make it double. If we are doing one thing wrong, then we don't have to do both things wrong. So this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been reported by Hazrat Atha radiallahu ta'ala an. The first part of it we have discussed very, very briefly. We cannot even go into any details in the limited time that we have. But you can see how much has been said in that hadith sharif, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira. Those who have some idea of tafsir, they know how much has been written about shahid, mubashir and nazir. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, and as a warner. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Sammaitukal mutawakkil, I have named you mutawakkil, the one who has complete and absolute trust in me. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I named you mutawakkil. Now if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calls somebody mutawakkil, then we can just imagine what level of trust Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have had in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If some principal of a school or some teacher or some shaykh has to tell one murid that I am confident about your iman or yaqeen or tawakkul, then that person is in cloud 9, is in the 7th heaven, because he believes that the shaykh told me that my iman is solid. Yet the shaykh can still make a mistake. His kashf can be wrong. It's not necessary that everything that he says, then it is going to remain like that all the time. It could be that at that moment that he said that your iman is very solid and strong, and your tawakkul is very strong on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then at that moment that person's tawakkul could have been of that level. But the shaykh does not know what's going to happen in future. And this is where that issue comes about khilafat also. That some people have been given khilafat. So it does not mean that now that is a certificate, that's a guarantee that this person is definitely jannati or something of that nature. I have mentioned in one of my majlises or bayans that if a person has to go to a doctor and the doctor gives him a complete checkup and after that says that I'm giving you a certificate of good health, you are in good health, your liver, your heart, your lungs and everything else is functioning very well. So what does that mean? That means that on that day that the person went for that checkup, on that day he was in good health. But after having received that certificate of good health, now if this person who is in good health has to go and start drinking, start smoking, or start eating all those foods which bring ill health, or overeating, not doing any kind of exercise, because he says, the doctor gave me a certificate of good health. So if he starts doing all the wrong things, then he cannot blame the doctor who gave him that certificate of good health on that particular day. He will have to work hard towards keeping up those diets and those practices which will retain that good health. So in the same way, if a person has been told by some shaykh or by some great alim or by some mashayikh that you are in good health, spiritually you are in good health, then that does not mean that this person's good health is now until his dying day. It is merely that confidence of the shaykh that if this person has to retain the practices and the amal and the actions, then he will remain in good health. But if not, and if this person also starts casting evil glances, and if this person starts indulging in other kind of haram activities, then even if the greatest shaykh has given him khilafat, he will become a shaitan of the time. And this is where many people become confused. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is saying, Sammaitukal mutawakkil, meaning that I have named you and called you mutawakkil, that you have absolute trust in me. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows the past, the present and the future. So there was no question of any doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was absolute mutawakkil. What can I do? Whenever these thoughts come, I just carry on and we can't seem to move forward. But everything, there is a lesson. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his certificate was not given by any ordinary human being. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Sammaitukal mutawakkil. Anta abdi wa rasooli. Again, Allah ta'ala says, you are my abd. And you are my rasool, my messenger. Laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz wala sakhabin fil aswaq. So we were discussing the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if I recall correctly, then last week we were talking about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam having secluded himself in the cave of Hira for many days prior to his receiving the first revelation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is reported, hubbiba ilayhi al-khala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the love of seclusion was put into his heart. Therefore it has been written that some seclusion is necessary. For any person who is doing any work of deen, it is necessary that he must go into some kind of seclusion. And it is from this that this khanqah whole issue has been derived. That the person tries to seclude himself for a little while. For some time he goes into meditation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes into meditation, contemplation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes zikr, he makes fikr in the cave of Hira. That seclusion, the love of it was put into his heart. And he used to take the provision for a few days and he used to go up the mountain. And I have mentioned many times that it is the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he has kept that cave still intact. Many things have been demolished, many signs have been removed, and with the construction of tunnels and roads and bridges and everything else, and buildings and hotels. So many things have been demolished. We cannot see now those signs of the homes of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'een, or where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came first into the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now there is nothing like that left. However, the cave of Hira on Jabal al-Nur, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala placed it at such a height and on such a mountain that even up till today with all the constructions and everything else, a person can go up there and he can go and take million qasams that my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked up this mountain and he came into this cave and for many days he meditated here. And he chose such a place also from where you can see the Kaaba Sharif. So there were three things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did. One was meditation, one was zikrullah, and the other was that he could put his nazar also on the Kaabatullah Sharif from there. So that is where the first verses were revealed. Now again we may start making tafsir of Surah Iqra, so let's get down to what we are discussing, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returned to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he said, zammiluni, cover me up. لَقَدْ خَشِيْتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي, that I fear my life. I've got a fear that after this incident that took place where Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam squeezed him, pressed him and told him, Iqra, and it was the first time that he had seen Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in this manner. So he had great fear and he came to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and she consoled him. The very first lesson in here is that if a person has got a good relationship with his family, if he's got a good relationship with his wife, if his wife has got trust and confidence in this person, that he is an upright person, he is of good conduct, he is of good character, his temperament is good, his akhlaq is good, then she will be the first one to console him in these type of problems. There's a whole chapter in it that is opening up for us. The first person was his wife. And most of the homes today, therefore you can see the article also about talaq, that most of the homes today, they are on fire. Because the akhlaq of us, one of the two parties is not right. Therefore I'm emphasizing on this point, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, now she consoles him. And this is again recorded in Bukhari Sharif. And in what beautiful words she consoles him. We may have discussed this in the past, but listen to it again. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Kalla, wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, never ever will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala allow any kind of humiliation and disgrace to come upon you. Now there are so many different things that have been mentioned by Hafiz Hajar ibn Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi and others with regards to this fear that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had expressed. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha telling him that never. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says in that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course that time she did not even know that now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's nubuwat has been announced. But the fact is that she said that Allah ta'ala will not allow any kind of humiliation or disgrace or suffering to come upon you. So one of the explanations which is accepted as a very sound and a good explanation is that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, what she was saying is that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is putting this responsibility upon you of conveying this message of deen now, because it's going to be a very big burden, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being informed, or now he knows that he has to carry this burden of conveying this message of deen, of propagating the message of deen to a people who are soaked in sins and vice and evil of the worst kind. He was not being sent to any ordinary people. He was not going to Muslims. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to now convey that message to those people who were seeped in idol worship, those who were burying their daughters alive, those who were drinking like how we drink water, fornication, adultery, and any sin under the sun that you can think of, the people were indulging in. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to go and invite them towards Islam, towards deen. So he was feeling concerned that this is a great responsibility and how will I be able to undertake it. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is assuring him that Allah who is putting this responsibility upon your shoulders, He is the Allah who will give you the strength to carry out this responsibility. He will give you the strength. And the lesson that we learn from there is that a person should not take more than he can chew. Sometimes people are greedy. They want every post and position that is advertised in the country. The person wants to be a trustee, he wants to be a chairman, he wants to be a secretary, he wants to be a treasurer of different societies and organizations. Anywhere where his name becomes famous, because when the person becomes recognized as some scholar, then everybody invites him that we want you to become a trustee of our organization. We want you to become a chairman. We want you to become a secretary. Now this person also, his nafs says that I will be the trustee, or I will be the chairman, or I will be the secretary, or I will be the treasurer of 101 organizations. But then what happens is that he cannot do justice to all. The same with government positions. People aspire for it, that we can do this and we can do that. But when they take the position, they cannot do anything. That laziness and that greed and everything brings humiliation, disgrace upon them. People make a big laughing stock of them, a big mockery and joke of them, because they cannot carry out that responsibility which they have taken. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is assuring Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that definitely, most certainly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will never bring disgrace and humiliation, because he who is putting this responsibility upon your shoulders of conveying this message of deen, he is the one who will give you the strength. Meaning that we must seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala strength. Any responsibility that we take, that we must be able to undertake, or we must be able to fulfill the terms of that obligation or responsibility. If the person cannot do it, then people will embarrass him, people will shame him, people will bring about humiliation upon him. They will say, why did you take this post if you couldn't do any justice to it? So then the honorable thing to do is to resign when you cannot do justice. Nevertheless, as Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, then she says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim. Innaka latasilur rahim. Now what's the first thing she mentions? Why Allah ta'ala will not allow this kind of humiliation and disgrace to come? Because you fulfill your obligation. I'm giving you the general meaning and the import. Because you fulfill the obligations, the duties, the responsibilities that you have towards your family members, towards your kith and kin, towards your relatives, towards your parents, towards your wife, towards your children, towards those who we term as family. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you are one who maintains family ties. You fulfill that responsibility. You go out of your way to ensure that your relationship with your family is excellent. Now this is the test. It is easy to make tahajjud namaz. It is easy to make long sajdas. It is easy to read Quran Sharif the whole day. It is easy to make zikrullah. It is easy to do a lot of other works of deen, to go for umrahs and hajj. But let us all x-ray ourselves, our hearts, and see what is our relationship with our families. Hadiths upon hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Quranic verses upon Quranic verses we can go on quoting, where such emphasis is placed on family, good family relationship. Now they, the nafs, will have to take that pain, because we will not get that same treatment from family members as we will get from our friends. The murids will go out of their way for the sheikh, and the friends will go out of their way for the friends. And many others will go out of their way for others. But when it comes to your very close family, to your parents, to your children, to your wives, and to those whom we term as kith and kin, then that is where the test is, because we are not going to get great shukar and great congratulations from such type of people. I mentioned before too that these type of people who are very close to us, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, you can do everything, all your life for them. You can go out of your way giving them gifts, and you can show favors upon them and give them loans and do everything. At the end of the day, the compliments that you could get probably sometimes is this, that if that person loaned me 10,000 rand, then what great favor did he do? Even if he gave 100,000, it wouldn't have caused any dent in his bank balance. Now that's the response. If this person showed this favor or that favor, then what kamal there? Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with so much, he could have given me much, much more than that. So these are the type of words you will have to hear. So at that time now the test comes, that will we say that I did this and I did that for him and he hasn't responded in a similar manner, so therefore I'm breaking up my ties with him? Or will we say that it was my Islamic duty that I must do what I have been ordered? I must fulfill my side of the contract. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then, because of that, give barakat and blessings, and there's so much of rewards, inshallah, whilst we discuss, in future we will discuss. But so much of rewards have been promised. So Allah ta'ala will give that person. Why is he worried of return from that family member? Those few words of congratulations or compliments, what will that help? If the Allah ta'ala will open his treasures for that person who is good to his family. So as the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to be in any kind of fear. Allah ta'ala will never bring about any kind of disgrace upon you, because this is your character. This is a beautiful trait in your life. And she was living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She married Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the wahi, then it was already 15 years that she had lived in the marriage of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as a wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So she knew the day of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She knew the night of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She knew the charity of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She knew the honesty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She knew the truthfulness. She knew the sincerity. She knew his humility. She knew his forgiveness. In 15 years time, the wife who has lived with him 24 hours, she knows everything. So all the others can heap praises, but it's not necessary that the wife will also praise, because she knows the husband very well. Therefore that incident comes to mind again, and many times you may have heard it too, that one great buzrug of the time, a very great wali of the time. But sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them wives who make their islah. They reach high stages because of their wives. They have to make a lot of sabr over what their wives say, because the murids and the others will say, Hazrat, Hazrat, Hazrat. But the wife will not make Hazrat, Hazrat. So this great wali of the time, everybody was saying that you are a Qutub and you are a Ghaus and you are a wali of the time. And the wife used to say that, what they are calling you wali and Qutub and Ghaus? You are lying on the ground here. I don't see any karamat. I don't see any this, any that. Because they're looking for karamats all the time. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, a person stayed in his company for 10 solid years. And then he said, Shaykh, I'm leaving you and I'm going now, because I didn't see any karamat. We want to see magical tricks, that is what we want to see. So he said, we didn't see any karamat. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi said that 10 years you stayed with me. In that 10 years did you see me doing anything against the Quran and Sunnah? He said, no. He said, what bigger karamat do you want? The 10 years you didn't find me doing anything against the Quran and the Sunnah. Not one sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam you found missing in my life, and you're looking for some other karamat. So now she too thought that wali and all that means that now he must fly in the air. So she said that you must show some karamat. So he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that this wife of mine must also recognize me as a wali. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told him, all right, you lie down on the bed and we will cause your bed to rise and fly in the air. That's a karamat. So that is what happened. Now the wife was watching. After some time he came down. She didn't know who it was that went up. So she said that is what I call a wali. The person that was flying in the air today, that is a wali, not you. She said, you saw that person? He said, yes, I definitely saw. What happened? He said, no, it was flying in the air. That's a wali. That's a real Ghaus and Qutub. So he said, well, that was myself. He said, no wonder you were flying crooked. So from the wives, you won't get much compliments. But here Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Allah ta'ala will not bring about any kind of disgrace upon you, because you have been so good to your family members. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khadija is saying this. There's a whole chapter in it. There's a whole ocean of knowledge in this. Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kalb. We will come back to these things again inshallah if Allah ta'ala gives life and opportunity. Wa tahmilul kalb. Kal is burden. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, and you carry the burden of others. That is what it means. That the burden of others you take upon your shoulders. the burden of the poor, the burden of the needy, the burden of those who are destitute, the burden of those who are in difficulties, in problems, in hardships, in any kind of pain, then Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how can Allah Ta'ala bring about disgrace and humiliation upon you? Why are you fearing this? Allah Ta'ala will never allow that to happen, because you take the burden of others on your shoulders. Again, highlighting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's excellent character. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to go out of his way. It doesn't mean just carrying somebody's parcel or bag from this side of the road to the other. That is also carrying a burden. But there are so many things that are in this little hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or what Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had said, that you carry this burden of others. And that is the lesson that we get in there. That if a person does not want humiliation, disgrace, if he wants respect, if he wants honor, of course he must not do it for that. He must do it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when he's going to do it for the sake of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give him elevation and honor. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. The person who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, then Allah ta'ala gives him elevation, gives him respect, gives him honor. So she says, the watahmilu al-kalb. And you carry the burden of others. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life and an opportunity, we will continue from here. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring into our lives the beautiful teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we develop our character, that is what we have to work on. We are all are working on tasbihat, on zikrullah, on a little bit of deen work here and there. But we have to work on our character. Can any person say with confidence that you can telephone my wife and find out what is my character? How many of us can say that? That you can telephone my wife and she will tell you what a good person I am. And that wife also must be honest and truthful. Most of the times, what reply will we get? The husband is a lamb in the masjid, but when he comes into the house, he's like a tiger, he's like a lion, he's like a cheetah. The children are terrified of him. Is that Sharia? Is that Deen? Is that Islam? We can bluff the people outside world. So the change of character is an extremely important thing. Then the world will also look at our character and they will come into Islam and we will change. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the trials, the hardships and the problems of the entire ummah, and especially in Palestine. Make a lot of dua for the people there and in Iraq. And also in Afghanistan, where can we say the Muslims are not suffering? So we must make a lot of dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He must remove the sufferings, and duas are not going to go waste. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept the duas, and sooner or later we will see the effects of those duas. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.